Betches Media presents At Betches, a podcast hosted by Betches co-founders Jordana Abraham, Sammy Sage, and me, Aileen Drexler. We talk about it all, from the latest celeb drama to the best movies to TV shows that we're so obsessed with right now. We share all of our thoughts, even the unpopular ones. Welcome to our pop culture group chat.
This is going to be just like senior year, except for funner.
Hello, and welcome back to the At Betches podcast. I'm Jordana.
I'm Sammy.
And I'm Aileen. Lots to discuss. What's up, guys? How's life?
You know, it's okay. I am dealing with Bruce has a backache, and it's very, very sad to watch him just try to exist. Like right now, he's doing this very, very sad.
How do you know your dog has a backache?
Because because I took him to the vet. Well, this has happened to him before. He can't like walk properly. It's very sad. So I've been giving him painkillers. And it's just very, very, you know, upsetting. But that's the big drama of my week. What about you?
That's the big drama. I guess it is dramatic.
Most dramatic season ever.
And to been watching Below Deck from the beginning. That's all. What about you? What about you, Jordana?
Yeah, I watched all the stuff you guys told me to watch last week.
What did we tell you to watch? I don't even remember.
You told me to watch Triangle of Sadness.
Because Sammy.
And a little bit of the Sarah Lawrence doc. I watched a little bit of that. It wasn't that. Neither.
I couldn't get into that one. Oh, although I watched it.
Yeah, it was like, I agree. It was like, it didn't get me in the right place. But I did watch the Murdoch Netflix documentary. And that was great. I thought that was awesome. I was like it delivered.
We should definitely talk about the Murdoch case because, I mean, right now I have the closing arguments of the trial on mute.
Oh, wow.
In my far distance, my TV. It's honestly, there is so much. I'm just annoyed that I've heard about the Murdoch case like years ago, but I'm annoyed with myself that I didn't. I'm just annoyed with myself that I didn't like fully take advantage of the years that I could have been following this and therefore been super entertained and gained like a lot of useless facts. But it's okay, I guess.
You mentioned this case to me like a while ago. I think now it's like a huge thing in the Netflix documentaries out, but I think you had mentioned it to me and you had sent me an article about it. And I remember I was trying to read the article and I was very confused because there were like so many different things happening and so many different names. And it was very hard to like fully piece it together into a coherent story. So I love the documentary because it really explained it all. To me, it's like you get the visuals of all the people and all the faces. So to me, it was much easier to make sense of what was happening rather than the article where there were like 75 different names and I didn't really know. It's like six different crimes. It was very confusing.
I don't remember which article I sent you, but also at the time of that article, like it wasn't, I think I probably sent that to you over a year ago or more because there was a point at which I got interested in it, but I was also too confused to like really stick with it. But I think that the trial and all leading up to it really clarified like what the deal is with this guy. And I just find it crazy that someone like this exists.
I liked the documentary. I wasn't obsessed with it. What I didn't like about it was that it spent so much time on the girl who died at like the hands of Paul.
And Mallory.
Mallory, not like Alex, aka Alec.
I can't get past that.
Was that not so annoying? I was like, why does my closed captioning say like Alex? His name, they keep calling him Alec or Alec sometimes. And then I noticed that his name was actually Alex. And then I'm like, why does he go by Alec? That's not even, there's no reasoning to it.
But I tweeted that question. I have an answer.
Oh, what
the
is
answer
it?
Is that somebody said that it's like a, it's kind of like a dialect thing.
Oh,
it's just like a pronunciation.
I get
the like Mallory Beach's murder was shown so much because, you know, she was like a pretty blonde girl who died, innocent blonde girl who died, and you know, America loves that to get hooked into a story. But I thought that they like glazed over so much of what Alec did. And that was like episode 3 out of 3, you know?
Well, I think that it's more about, I think what they were trying to do was set up, well, because A, Paul, who ended up getting murdered, is the one who killed her.
Right. I know.
That this was more about setting up the vibe that this family had extreme impunity in a way that was I think is hard for people who don't live in a community like this to like fully grasp.
Yeah.
Because I think we're used to seeing like criminal impunity and like people who get away with this kind of shit is not unheard of. But I think that most of the time when we hear these stories, it's about like people in finance or like tech and like,
right. Like, but not, you know, murder.
And it could, even if it's not murder, whatever it is, it's like if people are acting in this way, it's like people who can get away with anything. But I think we don't often hear like a blockbuster story like this with such a Southern twang, if you mm-hmm. will. Like this mm-hmm. is what it looks like to be able to get away with anything in a small town in South Carolina, rather than being like a really successful banker in the financial district.
In the low country.
Yeah. And I think that that's also what I find, like, it's so vivid to me. The vibe of their lifestyle is like so fascinating. I think that just like really makes it.
I wish they went even more into like all of the money that he embezzled. Like there was one, if you missed that second of the documentary, look down, you would have missed that he was fired from the law firm that his family owned for generations after generations because they suddenly realized he's been embezzling money. You know what right. I mean?
Well, it's sort of like in his list of crimes, you got to kind of put that low on the list because murders that he's arranging.
I know, but it was allegedly it was a huge part of his like fall from grace, which made him like no longer, you know,
legitimate.
No longer legitimate and like now open and vulnerable to be prosecuted like a regular murderer.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Right. I mean, I guess the painkiller thing part, it seemed to me like they don't really like know that much yet about all the other stuff that he was like. The boat accident was probably like, even though, again, that wasn't really investigated properly at all. I think that was the most like straightforward thing that they had the most information on. So that's probably why they also focused on it, because they like it is a very clear, like it's kind of clear what happened there. And the rest of the stuff. Right. The rest of the stuff is still kind of like being investigated or trying to like make a full case for. Like if the trial was already over and you could like then analyze like all the different sides and the evidence, and like they probably don't know all that stuff yet. So to me, that's probably why they haven't deep dived into that. But I would love to watch a follow-up documentary after that trial is over. Yeah.
So what's going on in the trial? I haven't been following the trial.
So I've been following not intensely closely, but I've been following in general. And I think actually they just replaced one of the jurors, or they're going to replace one of the jurors, because so right now it's closing arguments, but they're, you know, obviously the jury's going to deliberate soon. They're replacing one of them because apparently they were going around like talking about the case to other people, which you're not really supposed to do. Obviously it's very much public at this point, so that's a unique situation. Basically, he took this, Alec took the stand to defend himself, which I think was against the recommendation of his lawyer, and probably most attorneys would not recommend that.
Yeah, as we know
that.
From every documentary we see, you don't, yeah. You don't honestly, go on like, the stand.
Honestly, to me, like, I think taking the stand was smart. I think he's going to be found not guilty. And part of the reason for that is because I think that he has created enough like confusion /sympathy. Yeah, for his like addiction. Like I think that he has sort of given people like a reason to, they have to find him guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. And I think that he has given people enough to cling on to with his testimony and the way that he conducted himself for there to be more than reasonable doubt in the minds of jurors, to be honest with you. And I like, if they're looking for like, just we need some doubt, I think he achieved that.
Right. Well, it's also, I mean, he is a lawyer. So he know if he's, I think if anyone would be on the stand, it's like, let's put the person on the stand who's seen this stuff a million times and knows what to say and what not to say and how to not get tripped up. Like, I'm sure if there was anyone to put on the stand, it would be someone who like gets out of shit for a living.
Also, it's beyond that. Like, he, I think, was known to be very manipulative and, like, able to talk his way out of stuff and, like, very just savvy at getting out of trouble. And that's why I think, like, yeah, he testified, like, a week ago. So, yeah, it was, like, last week. It was last Thursday that he was doing his testimony. And he's doing this, like, sob story about, like, Mags and Pawpaw and the chickens and the hens and the, you know, we have all the dogs at our place. And like, it just all felt very like so down home that I just feel that the other piece is
that you buy it?
No, I don't buy it, but I am not thinking about whether I bought it. I'm thinking about whether the jurors from his own town, where he has a lot of power historically, and people are probably like a little scared of him, regardless of if he is a murderer, that I think he just like, the whole act was, it worked. I think it worked.
Listen, we all know that scratchy PJs can make a cranky kid. I want my kids to be comfy when they sleep and are rested in the morning, and that's why I snuggle them up in Little Sleepies. Little Sleepies makes award-winning bamboo PJs that moms rave about. I am said mom. I am obsessed with Little Sleepies. They are so, so, so soft. I just got one that was the Checkmates Zippy for my son Lucas. It's so adorable, and it's limited edition, so everybody go check it out. Little Sleepies Zip Romper Pajamas, aka Zippies, the ones that I got, were designed with thoughtful details like fold-over feet, mittens, and a double zipper to make the middle of the night diaper changes easier. Made from the buttery soft, custom milled Luna Luxe bamboo viscose, their zip footy pajamas are gentle on sensitive skin and babies with eczema. But what parents rave about the most? How long they fit. And Little Sleepies makes the best baby shower gift. They have inclusive sizing from preemie to adults 3X. There are also nursing and pregnancy-friendly styles available for adults. So try a pair of Little Sleepies today. Fair warning, you'll never go back. You can try Little Sleepies for yourself by visiting littlesleepies.com. Plus, get 15% off your order on littlesleepies.com with code BETCHES. That's littlesleepies.com with promo code BETCHES.
We've all been there, trying to fit everything we might need for a trip, only to end up with a suitcase bursting at the seams. But with Bass, there's room for everything. 15 pairs of underwear for a weekend trip? No problem. Deciding between a few pairs of shoes? Bring them all with Bass. I love my Bass. I bring it literally everywhere I could possibly need a carry-on bag. And that's because, like I just said, they have thought of everything. I love that my bag expands. And so when I overpack, as I literally do every single time, I don't have to sit on my suitcase anymore to try to squeeze it shut. I can just use the extender. Honestly, makes my life so much easier. It's one less thing to worry about, having to contemplate, do I need to bring this? Do I not need to bring it? I can just bring it and have the peace of mind that I have it. And my Bass allows me to do that. So it really just eases my whole peace of mind when traveling. Bass has thought of everything you could ever want in a piece of luggage. 360-degree gliding wheels, a cushioned handle, built-in weight indicator, washable bags for your dirty clothes, and all the interior pockets you need. Their luggage comes in multiple sizes and colors, and for shorter trips, the Weekender bag is super functional and even has a place to store your shoes separately. Every piece is made to look better with miles, so you don't have to worry about it in cargo or overhead. And Bass has over 30,000 five-star reviews. Whether you're packing for a quick trip or looking to breeze through the security line, Bass has your personal items covered. Right now, Bass is offering our listeners 15% off your first purchase by visiting basetravel.com/betches. Go to basetravel.com/betches for 15% off your first purchase. That's BEIS travel.com/betches.
Or maybe they're not scared of him. Maybe they're finally glad that the Murdochs have somebody is getting in trouble for everything that they've done year after year. Like they have. Because you saw that in the documentary, that people were like, finally, someone is standing up to this family, finally. And like, there was all of the rumors about the fact that they had killed the Paul or the brothers, Buster. I couldn't get over the fact that he was Buster also, because I was thinking of Arrested Development. But Buster was involved in killing that other guy, right? And like, everybody knew, but nobody said anything, and they got away with that. And the fact that they also, like, Paul didn't get in trouble for Mallory B, like, all of that was, maybe they're like secretly like, oh, this is our time to get him.
Yeah, I feel like he's a very unsympathetic character.
I know what you mean from our perspective, but I'm thinking about, like, from the perspective of, like, someone who's in this culture. Yes, there are going to be people who are like, yeah, I hope he gets his, But there's also going to be people who are like enamored by the power and the family, and they're going to want to see him as possibly innocent or just feel too guilty. Be like, I wasn't sure and I couldn't put an innocent, potentially innocent man in jail. That's the vibe I think that, because the jury isn't like us. It's not like people from New York flying in for the jury. It's like their immediate circle kind of. And I don't know. I just feel that I would be surprised if every juror is willing to find him guilty.
I'm also sure someone in that family is like trying to like work on the jury members. Like
to make them find him innocent.
Yeah. Like maybe there's some like bribery or something going on there. Like that to me seems like from what you see in the documentary, something that they would not be incapable of and definitely would try. And probably like it would be like more surprising if they didn't try to turn the jury somehow like shadily. So I think that'll be interesting to see. I was also interested, which they didn't go into, I guess, because they don't really have enough information on that either. Like I would be interested to know like exactly what this like home life was like to produce a son like Paul Murdoch and just like this whole family just being like the skeevy scumbags that they are. Like clearly Paul Murdoch had like a very weird home life. And I want to know like a lot more about what was going on behind the scenes there.
Jordana, you should listen to Mandy Matney's podcast. She's the like lead reporter. She's the person who I was following on this from the beginning. She knows like every detail. She has two podcasts. The first is like about the Murdoch. It's called the Murdoch Murders Podcast. And then she has Cup of Justice, where she works with two other people. And they're doing this case, but then they're going to expand it past other things. They said, at least according to what they tweeted. But to your point, I completely agree with you that they're going to obviously try to like work on the jury. My feeling on Paul's home life is like, yeah, there's obviously so much more to learn. But I feel like they gave a pretty solid sense of how he was like raised by Gloria, who they then like made murder.
Yeah.
That is to me, she's the most interesting murder potentially because she's like close with him. And
close with the son, not necessarily close with the dad, though.
Right, but the mother, who's the one who they say maybe did it, she is like close. You know, she wasn't living there, but she was like in their home for decades.
But then also like yeah, that murder was sus and messed up. But then the way in which Paul and the mom died is also so awful. Like they were like hunted essentially. And if he did that, or he and a hired man did that, it was two different guns though. It would just be like, if this man gets off on, and he did that, that would just be so horrifying because that's like a cold-blooded murder of your own immediate family. Like this whole story is so fucked.
Right. I also didn't really believe that they were kind of implying that Alec was going to, like, he staged the murder of him. He was going to try to get himself killed that Buster could have the insurance money. Like, that seems like a little too selfless for him.
No.
Like, he's going to kill himself just for his son?
He wasn't going to kill himself.
No, he wasn't killing himself. He was trying to stage that somebody, he was trying to, like, convince someone to help him kill himself. Like, that's, but really, he was going to frame that person for murdering him. That's what it was. Am I right? Yeah.
I was under the assumption that he was, you know, show like it was a part of his defense. Like when I saw that, I was like, this is me trying to get off on potentially being a suspect in this because now it's clear that, you know, because I wasn't there. I didn't get got, you know, in that moment. And so somebody else is after our whole family.
So that's what he was trying to do to the public.
Yeah.
But the guy who he was trying to get to do it, he was misleading this guy that he was going to help him like kill
his drug dealer
for the selfless reason. And then, but to the rest of the world, he wanted it to look like the drug dealer was actually murdering him.
It's all very confusing. And
I mean, it makes sense
dumb.
From his perspective.
It just seems dumb. I don't really get it.
He also does not seem.
Well,
I mean, he is smart, clearly, in some way.
But it's kind of like you have, like, I agree. It's, like, sort of unclear if he's, like, this criminal mastermind. Because on the one hand, it's like, okay, he's a lawyer and he knows how to work the system to an extent. But on the other hand, it's like he was also on all this, all these pills. And so, like, how clear-headed and smart could he have been if he's also under the influence of these drugs?
Clear-headed versus he's taking – I actually think what he's doing is he's taking advantage of the way that the law allows people to get away with things because of how vague they are. Like, and that happens a lot. It's like if you can't necessarily, like, prove that something is, you know, a result of something else, then he's able to sort of just evade, you know, responsibility – by keeping it vague.
I get the sense that he is sort of like the idiot of the family. Like when, even when they were showing the scenes or like the recreation of the scenes of them in the hospital, it was with the grandpa. It seemed like maybe the grandpa is the mastermind, his dad.
Yes.
He is just like the dumbass who's embezzling funds from his own law firm, risking it all, doesn't give a shit, drinking. Clearly they were talking about like drinking is like part of the culture, which Paul was raised in, and just helping like all the kids get away with whatever. But really, I don't think he is the mastermind. I think it's the grandpa and all the, he just got his law degree and made it in the law firm. I don't think that he's a smart guy. The fact that he set up that dumb, the shooting.
Right.
Like the fact that those like just random people driving by was like, I didn't stop. It looked like a setup to me. It was a sign that like, oh, this guy is not really together.
Well, what I mean is that he's just savvy at taking advantage of like ways to slip away from responsibility and getting caught by keeping things like confused, like,
right.
Like confusing.
Things. Because he learned from his grandpa, dad.
It almost seems like he's just like literally throwing everything against the wall to see like what might stick to get him out of this pickle. Like,
yeah.
Like just like I'll throw like a suicide, but actually it's a setup for a thing. And then like there's the insurance money and the pills and then the other, like they kind of like, let's see what like I can divert, like you said, like distractions and diversions. And you're just like unclear about what's fully going on.
Even like the phone calls from prison when he was just like not talking about anything but like his winnings in jail for like his gambling. It just makes me think that he's just sort of like a kid. You know what I mean? Like he's emotionally immature and he's just like, this is, I just kind of do.
And he's found guilty of being emotionally immature.
You know, I was kind of confused also why the property that they kept showing the like aerial view of, like, why didn't they have a pool?
Like, are you sure they didn't have any pool?
I didn't see any pools in the whole aerial view of like the whole thing. I just thought like they have so much money. They have these boats, this big house of guns. They have this like plane or something. I think there were helicopter or something.
Maybe pool is not like the culture because they had like, it was like a rant. They had hogs.
They don't care about tanning and laying out.
Yeah, they definitely don't look like they tan.
Yeah, they don't. They have fair skin. They're gingers. It's probably not good for them. They don't put hogs in a pool. It's not like the same vibe, you know?
Yeah, it is. You think if you have like so much land, you could have like a hog area and then you have like the pool patio. Yeah.
I'm suspicious just based on that fact. It seems
maybe
unnatural.
They had like a pond. Maybe they had like a
swimming
natural
in the pond? A marsh.
A lake.
Because it's in low country, which I Googled.
Lake. Yeah.
It's like, it's all marshy. It's like
below sea level.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess we'll see what happens. Watch the documentary, people who are listening. If you haven't watched it, it's only three parts. It's like a long movie.
Yeah. I was definitely like, I thought it was like captivating. Like I was very interested to find out exactly what was going on.
I wanted to keep watching for sure, especially because there's not that much content. And I'm rewatching Below Deck from 2006.
There's a lot of Bravo content out. It's very busy Bravo time.
It is. It's something every night.
Every night.
It's really great.
Weddings are all about the bride and groom, but we all know they're a chance to look your best too. With a fully custom suit from Indochino, you'll walk into wedding season looking like $1 million, even though suits start at just $499. It's easier than ever to be the best dressed guest with Indochino. Order your custom suits now and be ready for wedding season. Design the suit of your dreams and fine-tune every detail, including lapels, linings, monograms, pocket flaps, and more. Get a bespoke look without the premium price tag. Suits starting at $499 and fitted shirts at just $89. You can get a tailored fit from home by setting up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose customizations without even leaving the house. Or opt for a premium in-person experience. Book an appointment at a showroom near you and let an Indochino style guide walk you through every step. Look your best this wedding season at the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Go to Indochino.com today and use code BETCHES to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code BETCHES. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Should we talk about the latest drama between Selena Haley and Justin?
There's a girl war. The girls are at war.
It almost feels like all of the, you know, pop, you know, the celebrity gossip platforms just kind of like needed to build some sort of Haley, Justin, Selena drama into their forecasts. So they had to create it so that they could make sure that they would get that, you know, on their content schedule this year.
Maybe. But it resulted in Selena getting off social media or like deleting
unforeseen
Insta or TikTok.
I feel like she's always on and off, though. Is she not? She like she goes is. On, and then she goes You're off, right. and then she comes. Like she's not. This is not like she does this like fairly frequently. I think where she takes like these breaks.
She does. You're right.
It was just I was thinking about it. Like I was looking at it. She surpassed Kylie. We can talk about the whole what happened, but she surpassed Kylie in like the most followers, and she used to have the most followers. I guess it went down. So she has something like 392 million followers on Instagram. And I was thinking about that. Like, imagine every tiny little thing that you do gets seen by 392 million people. That can't be good for your mental health.
I mean, and she's all about mental health. Kylie Jenner, yeah. just by comparison, has 379 million.
Oh, no. What will they do, sir?
I think Kylie, in a sense, is like, knows how to use social media. You know what I mean? Like it's, I doubt she's immune to like the mental health effects of it. But I think that Selena isn't like a social media. She's like a performer. Like she's a singer. She's an actor. She's not like a social media girl, which Kylie is. So I think it's probably way harder on Selena.
You know, I find it to be odd that Selena has the most Instagram followers of anyone. Like, I like her, as you know, not enough to follow her, but I'm kind of like, what? Why is she the most followed more than anyone else? More
no,
than
she's
Kim?
Not the most. Oh, is, of women.
Of she, like all of like Cristiano the celebrities
Ronaldo
in her. Yeah, no,
is
I know.
The most.
I'm like, of all the celebrities, like in her kind of like, all the ones you would who you would think might be, why is it her?
Because she has a Latina audience too.
I think it's more that I don't know that this is 100% accurate, but it's possible that she got on social media earlier. And when you go on the platforms earlier, you're collecting followers sooner when the platform is like still nascent and people are doing like a lot of heavy following. So it could just be that like she was always one of the most highly followed. So it could be that she's sort of like grandfathered into always being one of the top followed people. Same with Kylie, because Kylie was on it early too. But like, why should Jennifer Aniston be less followed, you know, and that or significantly less followed than someone like Selena? Reality is that she started her account like way later.
Right. But Kylie at least knows it's like you said, she's like working social media. Like she knows, I think she has a team that really knows what they want to see. Like Selena seems a lot more passive on it and still has all these followers. Like she has 100 million more followers than Beyonce. And it's just kind of like you would think like I think of Beyonce as like more famous, like more accomplished in the industry. I'm just kind of like, I guess I'm confused as to why she has the most.
That's why I think it's because of the platform.
Cristiano Ronaldo has the most of anybody ever. And he's a soccer player. There's like the international.
There's
effect.
More global
There's
following.
More people
but he's a really good soccer player, right? Like the best in his field.
Yeah.
Yes, maybe. But it's more just, that like also people looking. In every country are following him.
Yeah, and I think Selena has. I think Selena has more of a global reach than
I think you're right about that.
Than Kylie.
I agree with that. Should we okay? Let's talk about Haley and Selena. Haley and Selena. Jordana, you are the Selenator here. Do you want to tell the story?
Yeah, I could tell the story based on our detailed outline. okay. There's a lot to unpack here.
Oh no. No, you're Haley and straight.
Okay. No, Sammy, do you want to describe it?
No, I can't.
Okay.
I didn't even follow this.
All right. So Haley Bieber and Selena Gomez, who've been long been the subjects of internet drama scrutiny over both of their romantic ties to Justin Bieber, as we all know, seemed to end rumors of a feud after their photo together that broke the internet this past fall, if you guys remember that, where I said it was kind of bullshit, so I didn't really believe it. And turns out, potentially right. So there's a series of recent online videos and a possible feud between the two stars. Back in January, paparazzi get a photo of Selena in a swimsuit while on vacation, which is met with a lot of body shamers. Selena, who's very vocal about weight gain, about medications from her lupus, responded to the since deleted video saying, "It's okay, it's okay. I don't let these things get me down. Be nice to everyone." Then there's this other thing where there's the TikTok of Hailey Bieber, Kendall Jenner, and Justine Skye lip syncing to a trending sound. I'm not saying she's deserved it, but God's timing is always right. Seemingly making fun of Selena and the body shaming ordeal.
People thought that that's what they were doing. Like,
yes, it seemed like they were like subtly insulting her. So then there's like all the fans of both groups are getting really enraged. Haley denies the accusation, saying, "I never comment on this type of thing, but we were just having a girls' night and did a random TikTok sound for fun. It's not directed at anyone." So the same day that Selena uploads this joke, kind of making fun of her eyebrows, Kylie and Haley upload something that's sort of like a zoom into their own eyebrows.
They were like FaceTiming and they screenshotted it and posted of both of them zooming in into their eyebrows.
And then they said, and then Kylie says this was an accident when fans speculated it was further mockery of Selena. Since then, there's other videos and tweets that have surfaced showing Hailey Bieber as a mean girl, quote unquote, specifically hating on Selena's best friend, Taylor Swift, and edits of her copying Selena's every move, which leads to Selena, who has traditionally been very active on social media, tearfully announcing that she'll be taking a break from the apps over the weekend. Also, Jordan Woods, Kylie's best friend, the one who hooked up with Tristan Thompson, shared a video on TikTok live using Selena Gomez's rare beauty lip liner. Wow. This means war, I guess.
The girl world.
The thing that I had seen online, which was which seemed like it was like a little bit Selena instigating, was this old video of Hailey Bieber kind of reacting to like, she's on a video and someone mentions Taylor Swift and she goes like, ugh. She like puts her like, she basically like fake vomits or something. And then Selena comments on the video saying that it was like messed up of something to that sort. That's what I had seen online.
Really? I didn't see that one. I mean, I don't think any of this is just like an accident. And it's just, I mean, okay. I think that up until this point, I really didn't think that there was like a feud between them and people were just sort of making it up. But this is giving me pause. This is making me feel like the girl world is at war and that they really are fighting. And the thing is that I've also saw people say that Selena doesn't really say like, stop talking shit about Haley. She just sort of just says, I'm fine. Don't worry about me. Like she doesn't say like nobody diffuses it. They just defend their stance. They said, I didn't do anything. You know, they don't call their fans down.
Yeah, no one ever really does that. And it's just, okay, here's what I think. I think they really hate Selena for some reason that we just have no clue about. And Selena really hates them, probably for some, they're mean. They're clearly ganging up on her, like, I mean, very obviously.
Here's the thing. It is not weird or unusual to make this somewhat relatable to the general population to not like your husband's ex-girlfriend totally. That he dated 4 months before you guys, like, got engaged. Right? That's not weird. Like, it makes sense that Selena wouldn't like Haley and that Haley wouldn't like her, even if they, even for no reason at all, totally. Other than like, there's this weird situation where they're dating the same guy within months of each other. And it felt very competitive. And I'm sure that Selena was very, was pretty like shocked and probably hurt that Justin got married pretty quickly after they had broken up.
I agree with that. But what is weird is that they are like making it public as celebrities when like they can't fully control the result of what happens with that.
Like they're being so messy when like they should be more controlled because they're such huge celebrities having the most Instagram followers.
Yeah, because it can just spiral into like a whole other thing. Like how did Jordan Woods get in here? You know, just because she wanted to.
She jumped on.
Get involved.
She just jumped on the relevancy bandwagon.
Right. It's like you can't control. For people who are so PR conscious, when you do shit like this, it becomes out of your control. And that's what surprises me, that they would
there's fuck just with it. No way the eyebrow thing was an accident / coincidence.
Zero. Or the TikTok sound now. Because when you think about the eyebrow thing, in retrospect, you're like, oh, well, obviously the TikTok sound was instigating too.
Like, I believe nothing.
Yeah. And I mean, I do think there's probably this like clicky, like Taylor Swift, Selena Gomez, maybe Nicola Peltz.
Yeah. Knows.
Yeah. Like click versus the like Nepo babies, as I heard Selena somewhere had maybe mentioned that being her reference to them, of the like Hailey Bieber, Kylie Jenner block.
Oh, well, then this, what do they think so of their friend girls. Nicola Peltz? How can Nicola That's Peltz fair. Be in their non-Nepo baby crew? That is like the least... That makes no sense.
That is true. Well, she's also the least successful of them.
Can you imagine? They're like, we're like the non-Nepo baby crew. Don't worry, though. Like, you're with us.
It's truly...
Nicola's like, wait, like me? And they're like, no, not like how you do it. You are like actually talented. Yeah. Kylie's out here just like copying ColourPop. But like you were amazing in Bates Motel.
It's just... all very interesting, the timing of it, like the timing of Selena and Nicola just being like besties on social. Like, it's just all weird.
Oh, I hope we get more updates in the case.
I mean,
which case?
Her father's lawsuit against the one.
I mean, people do really feel like they want to like come. I feel like Taylor gets come for a lot and like Selena somewhat, although I feel like Selena has a almost better reputation than Taylor in terms of like people more universally being more pro her. Like Selena to me has like a bigger army than Haley and Taylor, maybe.
I actually think Selena might be more like, she's less polarizing. She's I would say Selena she's has more
relatable.
Like, if you could add up the points of everyone who likes Selena in the world, her points of people who like her would be higher than Taylor's. But Taylor, I think, has a more diehard, like, core crew.
I think Selena has the Selenator. Salinator. I don't know how to say that word. Jordana, you're a Selenator. Selenator. I think they're hardcore.
They are. But
especially
I also
the Selenators who were there for Selena and Justin. But wait, I thought of something else. Kylie is also invested in this because Taylor and Kim... Okay, we're feuding H Court.
Good point.
True.
For a while. Like, maybe it's less now because I think obviously it was Kanye, not really Kim. But there was a time. There was a moment in time when they were hating each other. So, like, maybe Kylie is here on the defense of her fam.
Definitely. Yeah. I didn't realize Kylie and Haley were friends enough to be, like, FaceTiming casually.
Yeah, I thought Kendall was BFF with Haley.
Well, maybe Kendall and Kylie are like back and it's all like sister friends again. Maybe they're back in that. Right. But it is funny when you think about it, because now I'm thinking like about in terms of their fandoms and their talent and just the talent on the Taylor and Selena side. Even if you just Nicola brings zero, mm-hmm. it's still like triples the Haley, Kylie, Kendall side.
Right, who are like pretty much almost pure Nepo, I think, generally.
They're not even pure Nepo. When you think about the fact that they're fighting with like makeup, that actually just makes it even more clear, because literally all these people do is apply makeup on the internet.
Right.
When you think about what they offer.
But you see the aesthetic, at least of like Selena versus Haley, and like to me, it's interesting how differentiated they've made themselves from each other in terms of like how they want to be seen by the internet. Like Hailey is very much the like effort, like she wants to look like incredible and effortless in every photo. And Selena is much more about that. Like I saw, she put up the picture of herself and she like, it looks unedited and, you know, she doesn't have perfect skin and she's like trying to very much do the like real angle. And it's it seems almost, I don't know, subtly or blatantly as a reaction to the like Hailey aesthetic, which a lot of girls are into.
Oh, totally.
And also Selena's makeup line is also doing well.
I was about to say,
Selena's,
she also has a makeup line.
Selena's makeup line is a very starkly different brand than like Kylie's and Hailey's. So this conversation makes me like really question my life. But
no, but here's the thing. Like it only seems dumb because we're talking about like feminine shit, but like actually we're talking about huge businesses.
Right. But they're different because like I feel like Rare Beauty is about like inclusivity and it's about like, yeah, being natural, but quality. This is also an ad for Rare Beauty. For quality products, because I've noticed that when I like, I think I bought something of hers. Whereas Hailey's feels like I just want to like be cool. And it's Kylie's like I just wanna... is just makeup. You know, it's just cheaper type of vibe. I'm putting on a lot of makeup.
Yeah. I think it's really very interesting because when you think about it, like Selena launched her makeup line off of her singing career and her sort of holistic celebrity. Kylie made herself more legitimate from basically like copying a formula for a makeup. And so did Hailey. Because if you think about what people said about Hailey, there's like nothing she was bringing to the table, but now she has this skincare company and that's her like business, how she's going to be taken seriously. So she's not just like a high level influencer. Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's very interesting. Taylor Swift should now start a makeup line. And that would be the way to complete this feud.
I can see it.
I actually can't see Taylor starting.
Selena didn't delete her Instagram. She just posted 49 minutes ago. Did you see these pictures of her and a fish?
Short break? No. No, we've been recording for 49 minutes.
You're right. She posted like a very interesting angle of herself, which I'm like, I have a newfound love for her.
Let me see.
It's in a slideshow.
Okay. She broke her silence while we were on this podcast.
Was it this really breaking it? No, Selena. 2 days ago she posted.
I see what you mean. She's definitely like, oh, I picked this one with a double chin on purpose.
Yeah.
But like, good for her. Who gives a shit? This is the thing. She looks like she's having fun. That's all that matters.
In a picture posted on February 22nd, she looks very hot. She says, I deleted this one time because I thought maybe it was too much, but eh. And then she wrote taking a break from social, February 22nd. But like today is March 2nd.
That's what I'm saying. February. She goes on and off, which I think is actually like kind of nice because she's like, okay, like sometimes you just need a week off because it's like too much. Yeah. Like it doesn't have to be like this huge thing that she's saying is good. I'm never coming back.
Yeah. Like also like this one a day off of social is a really long time considering how often we close and reopen these apps.
It's interesting because this photo, the one of her where she on February her photo from February 22nd, Exhibit A. Yes. This one has been memed everywhere, if you've noticed.
What is the meme?
Just people have been like overlaying it with like their, you know, when people put like words on it. Like what me, they, my dog, they... you know, oh, and you're like sipping your dog. I don't fucking know.
Ugh. Well, I guess we'll see what happens. I have a feeling this is not the end. We're going to see more unfold in the girl world.
I mean, here's the thing. Selena is in Only Murders in the Building with Meryl fucking Streep. So I think we know which side of this feud is.
Meryl, yeah. Steve Martin, Martin Short. She could get an Emmy. Or did she already?
Yeah.
I think she was nominated.
I don't think she got an Emmy. But the Nicola friendship, I really...
Yeah,
I need answers there.
And I mean, I also do think it's nice that Selena goes that like very unpolished look. I think it is good for like her 392 million followers to get a little bit more of like a less posed, airbrushed whatever. Like, I do think that's, she's doing good.
Yeah, like on February 1st, she posted a very, like purposely posted a picture with her with a very obvious pimple. Yes. That most people would, Haley would never. Here's the thing, is that like Haley and Selena and Nicola too, they do seem like they have fun and that they're friends and that they sort of gas each other up. The Haley, Kylie, Kendall crew feels like they're the mean girls in the sorority.
Right.
Who really, and as a former mean girl in the sorority, I can say that.
Yes. And who are just like, I don't know, they're just not that talented. They're just luck of the draw.
That's why they have to be mean, because they know deep down that they're just not offering that much.
Yeah. Like, Haley got this skincare line because she knows skin so well.
No, it's like she has, it's like, here, let me teach you how to have these amazing genetics that I was born with.
Right.
Selena's picture from January 17th says everything. It's a black and white photo with Meryl, Steve Martin, Paul Rudd, and Martin Short. I think, and they're all having fun on one couch. So I think that says everything.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There's no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. So it's no big deal if you lose a button, spill something, or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code BETCHES20. Just go to NUULY.com. That's Nuuly with two U's. And enter the code BETCHES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with two U's, and use code BETCHES20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. Ready to redefine your relationship with alcohol? Whether you're trying to cut back or just want to explore a non-alcoholic alternative, Athletic Brewing is a game changer. They offer a variety of different full-flavored brews with no alcohol, allowing you to sip and celebrate anytime and anywhere. Do you like hazy IPAs, sweet, fruity sours? Athletic Brewing has an assortment of non-alcoholic beers in almost any style you can think of. One thing I really like is a great Sunday brunch. And sometimes, you know, you kind of want to have a drink during it. But also it's Sunday and you kind of want to get your life together. That's the perfect occasion to have an Athletic Brew non-alcoholic beer. Athletic brews a variety of great-tasting, award-winning non-alcoholic beers, including IPAs, Goldens, Extra Dark Brews, Sours, Hazies, and more. Many of which are only available online and for a limited time. They offer hassle-free delivery right to your door when you order at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic Brews Bevs you can drink anytime, anywhere, and still go right back to whatever you were doing. It's a great fit for parenting, playing sports, watching sports, doing chores, late nights, and early mornings, so you can imbibe without worry. And when you support Athletic, you support a company that cares. They're a certified B Corp and donate up to $2 million annually to protect and restore outdoor spaces around the globe through the Two for the Trails program. Try Athletic Brewing non-alcoholic beers for yourself. Use code BETCHES to get 15% off your first order at athleticbrewing.com. That's BETCHES. At checkout for 15% off your first order. Near beer. Exclusions and conditions apply. Athletic Brewing Company. Fit for all times.
Sammy, can you tell us about this thing where Prince Harry is going to add another chapter to what you said was an already very long handwritten book?
Oh my God. Sad. When I saw this, I was like, can he fucking not? They just can't. They just can't stop.
That's a song, right?
I don't want to subject anyone to this. I only know what has been reported, which is that Harry wants to add another chapter to his book. It's in the works. A source revealed to Page Six that the Duke of Sussex is already planning to add at least one new chapter to the paperback version, out later this year or early next, when the hardcover sales have ended. They added that readers are eager to know Harry and his wife's feelings about the royal backlash they've suffered after the airing of their Netflix doc and the publication of Spare.
It's like the official way of saying people have been asking. A lot of people have been asking.
It's the revenue generating way of saying a lot of people have been asking.
Lexi, continuation of the privacy tour.
It's like it's like posting an affiliate link, but respectable.
Lex Nico posted this, and I really agree hardcore. She was like, I usually defend them, but like, I really can't anymore. It was like screenshots of basically Harry going on the late night show, I think, right? I don't even know what he was talking about. And then there's paparazzi photos of Meghan and Harry stepping out and going into a restaurant. And Lex Nico is writing like, they just want to be in Hollywood. Like, that was always the goal. They want to be these celebs that are paparazzied. That's why the worldwide privacy tour is hilarious and so on point. It's because it like is true. They just want to be celebrities, mm-hmm. and not the on their own terms, and not like just celeb famous for and having this like contract with press on the other side of the pond.
They want to be like, and this doesn't apply to Meghan, but like upscale nepo babies. Harry would be the nepo baby there.
Yes,
you know what I mean, like. Like, they want to be, like, the Angelina Jolie version of a nepo baby. Like, UN ambassadors doing good all over the world.
Good point.
Carol like Ridewell.
A journalist. I think...
Sorry, go on.
Okay, by the way, Lex Nico, one of our hosts of Crown Jewels with Bravo historian, a.k.a. Samantha Bush, they host Crown Jewels, which is Betch's royal podcast. It's so interesting. I love that podcast. I really love talking about royal shit. I'm sorry for the people who I know don't love it. But I do want to add that as this is happening, Harry and Meghan have been forced to formally vacate their Frogmore cottage in the U.K.
They were evicted.
Do they not live there anymore, though?
They don't technically live there, but like their stuff. They like
get your shit out.
They technically like had a claim on it, and now they don't anymore.
Is it in storage at like a storage facility in the UK?
Manhattan storage.
Are they being sponsored by Roadway Moving when they're leaving Frogmore?
Yeah. Is there a U-Haul that could take you to California?
You know, I like how it says. They said our producers say that Charles permanently kicked. Them out. I feel like Charles is on like a cleaning house, like like everybody out of here. Like he's going very like Principal Duval on everyone. I will keep you here until four.
But Andrew's moving in, so it's like
Andrew is moving in. I thought he kicked him.
I thought he kicked him out. Already.
He kicked him out of a different. He kicked him out of Kensington Palace.
Okay, so he's getting downgraded.
Buckingham.
Yes. No, Frogmore.
Oh, he gets the cottage.
It was the dilapidated cottage that Harry wrote about in his book, right?
Notcot is the bad one. The Frogmore is the better one.
Okay.
So it's their second. It's the place they moved in after they Notcot was too small because Oprah was like, "How do you even stand in here with these ceilings?"
Oh, Notcot so was the one from the
into
documentary.
Frogmore, and now I guess they're being kicked out of Frogmore, and Andrew's being. Moved into Frogmore because Andrew was kicked out.
Oh my God. This is not a cottage.
Kensington.
So where are they going to stay when they come to visit?
Like, no. Sorry. Andrew was kicked out of Buckingham Palace where he's been living for decades. Now he's living in Frogmore.
Okay. So where are Harry and Meghan supposed to stay when they come visit? At like a Marriott?
A hotel.
The Hilton?
Get your Bonvoy points, bitches. You got a lot of cross. You got, you know.
Seriously. I mean, what would you say, like, over under on, like, the percent chance that Harry gets, like, a minor role in some movie or TV show in the next 2 or 3 years?
I could see it not in, like, a movie or TV show, but something Hollywood related.
Do you think that Meghan's going to act again?
Not for 5 years.
Well... It's kind of like, what else is Harry going to do if not just write more memoirs talking shit about his family? Like, what are his actual talents? Now that he's written the book.
I have an idea.
He's done the Netflix documentary. Like, what is next for Harry himself, talent-wise?
Harry is going to sit on boards of foundations where they're going to pay him stupid retainers to exist and to call attention to their charities.
So he's basically going to be, instead of doing that for the royals, which is basically what he used to do, he's just going to do that for American charities.
That's my prediction.
Like, isn't the royals' job mostly?
He also might be on boards of businesses, like social, like positive social impact businesses. I could see him getting paid some handsome sums to do that. I could see him getting paid to, like, I see him as someone who's going to be like a retainer collector to put his name on stuff, and people will just
licensing
pay him.
Himself out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a high level influencer.
Like a high level Carl Radke.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll be the face of Loverboy.
We could hire him to be the face of Faux Pas. What are we doing?
Oh my God. He's just going to license his like approval out. He's going to be like, Harry likes this.
It would be such a good Super Bowl commercial where he's like making fun of his faux pas with his family and all of his faux pas with like the royals. And it's like, drink faux pas because it's amazing.
Oh my God. You just did the commercial.
We can make him his own specialized can where this, you know.
It's like red.
Listen.
What would his drink be? An old fashioned, probably?
A Dirty Harry.
Oh.
This Dirty Harry is sensitive.
Look, we've already developed a product, Harry. All you have to do is sign on the dotted line.
And secondary notes of not speaking to your whole family.
The bitterness of attending your grandmother's funeral and everyone making fun of you.
Dark and stormy.
All right, Harry. We got your next job.
We are your PR chapter. People.
What?
We are his PR people.
Honestly, like, I really do believe that I could direct his PR strategy.
Best served cold.
Oh my God, I forgot. I've been saving this juicy information for you guys. It's not even juicy or information. Okay. I had a dream the other night. It was vivid. I was doing something. I get a phone call, and it says it's from London. I'm like, what kind of bullshit? Is this a sales call? I pick it up, and it goes, ma'am, and I'm like, yeah. And they're like, we have something, and it mumbles for you. And I answer, and I'm like, oh my God, I was like, couldn't decide if it was William or Harry. And then it turns out that it's Harry and Meghan asking for advice about their PR strategy. Literally, this was like
a lead PR machine
Monday night, and I'm like both shocked and can't wait to tell you guys, but also giving them like real. I'm like, you guys have to lay low. Just keep laying low for now. You just can't help yourself. And I'm going to be honest, like, I am part of the problem. I talk about you on my podcast, but here's the thing. I had a full on conversation with Harry and Meghan in my dream. And I was so excited to tell you, and I can't believe I forgot until right
now. Maybe
they're
listening. That's very funny. And you're telling them now.
It was so real.
Lay low, Harry and Meghan.
It was
lay
even
low.
Like I had the secretary answer the phone. They're like, ma'am, I have this one for you.
Mr. and Mrs. Windsor?
Yeah, but I think then in my head, I was like, wait, was that just Harry just making a voice for a fake assistant? It was all so good.
Harry or Meghan, I'm not, both of them are probably the type to like pretend to be their own assistant on the phone.
Yeah, for sure.
Or via email.
Excuse me.
Right. Harry personal assistant at gmail.com email that he uses for press outreach.
Yahoo.
Oh God.
Like Naomi.
So good.
Yes.
Anyway, who are we sending to the Caymans this week?
Alec Murdaugh. Duh.
Oh yeah.
Duh, duh.
No, he shouldn't be there. I think we should.
No, he needs to go to jail. If found guilty. Beyond reasonable doubt.
What about Buster?
Okay. Buster. Nope.
Oh, Buster?
He's
Buster,
not on trial and he deserves some sort of punishment.
I agree.
He was out there gambling in the Hamptons. Not in the Hamptons, in Vegas.
Yeah, they were like laundering their money.
Yeah. All right. Buster Murdaugh is going out there.
Caymans. Yeah.
I think he should be in basic economy though.
Okay.
Yeah.
He can in the back where it doesn't recline.
Yeah.
Next to a screaming baby.
And without and he has to check his bag because there's no room left.
And there's also no Wi-Fi. Or okay. Entertainment on this flight. It's broken.
This is what you get, Buster.
All right. Well, that's it for this week's episode of the At Betches podcast. You can follow me at Jordana Abraham.
You can follow me at Aileen.
And follow me at Sammy. Please leave us a rating and a review. Let us know what you think of the podcast. We love hearing from you. And we will be back next week on the Hot Betches podcast.
At Betches is produced by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, Rebecca Sosmakat, and Aliza Zim. Editing by Basilio Perez. Be sure to follow at Betches on Instagram and send us your emails to podcast@betches.com.
Betches.